afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be here today. And in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions, and we'll be taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm great.
Isn't that a good thing?
We're going to be talking about conscious compassion and awareness today.
As always.
As always.
The driving force in our lives, our reason to be.
Our reason to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you want to join our conversation today, give us a call toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-514-2100. Again, that's 888-514-2100. If you want to email us when we're not on the air, you can reach us at openair@livingcompassion.org, and you can listen to archives of all the previous shows right here at worldtalkradio.com on the Open Air homepage. Great.
How's your week been?
It's been busy. Busy. Uh-huh. Life is moving quickly.
It is, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Do you think life sometimes changes speed, or do you think perhaps we do, or is it a little bit of each?
You know, that's a great question.
Sometimes it's really hard to know, isn't it?
It is hard to know. Sometimes it feels like a little bit of each.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that sometimes that the more I practice awareness, the more I allow life to flow at whatever speed it's flowing.
Yes.
Rather than trying to make it go faster here or slower here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then being in, moving at the same speed as life, when we tune in that way and make sure that we're in sync,
yeah.
Then it's fun and it's manageable.
Yeah.
Even though it may seem like it's going very quickly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. Sherry, that reminds me of something I heard you say on the radio once, something to the effect of life moves at the speed of our skill level. That really, really struck me as really powerful and really true.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And probably you've noticed this. I have. I know that... It, moment to moment, depending on how much I'm paying attention, my sense of well-being with how life is changing.
Uh-huh.
And that if I get into a place where I think, oh, this is too much, this is too much, and I suppose it could be too much on either side. I don't know. I mean, I can't remember a time when I was bored.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, but I, in theory, I guess it would happen on both sides of the continuum.
Uh-huh.
But things are moving very quickly, and instead of trying to do something to alter that, because if I trust that life is moving at the pace of life, at the speed of life, and that it really is a perfect speed for me, and that if I'm not having that experience, then I'm doing something that is creating kind of a log jam or that sort of thing where,
uh-huh.
you know, things are moving along and then I get things going at a bad angle and suddenly it's all getting backed up and there's pressure and stress and that sort of thing. So when I realize that that's happening and I take a deep breath and let go, then it's like, you know, it's like jumping back. You know, you push your little boat off from shore out of that eddy, and boom, there you are in the current again, and you're moving along at the speed that is manageable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wow, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm. And to me, the really key part of that is always, you know, we talk a lot about projection. You know, how we are always seeing life through our own eyes and through our own experience. that it's not that we're seeing reality. We're seeing what we are projecting on to reality. And people will say, yeah, but, you know, are you saying always I'm projecting? I mean, come on, everything that I'm experiencing in life is me? And I encourage them to consider, yes, that is what I'm saying, and that is my experience, and I would go so far as to say that's true. And what I encourage people to consider with that is whether, you know, we waste our time trying to say, okay, but in this case, it's really not true. Okay, I can see how that person is, and I'm really not that. It's just a waste of time if what we want to do is wake up and end suffering.
Yeah.
Because everything that I'm projecting is a good opportunity for me to see what's going on with me. And if I know that I am the one that's causing me to suffer, then I'm going to be looking here, not out at you and trying to make cases for you really are who I'm projecting you to be. So in the same way, when life is not going the way I think it should, if I just put, you know, kind of as a working premise, agree that it's probably me and not life that's having the problem, then I can more quickly move into that place of, okay, so what is this that's going on? You know, what am I holding on to that's creating that that blockage in the energy that's keeping me from, holding me back from moving at the speed of life and being in that that comfortable flow.
Yes, yes. Sherry, we have a caller on the line.
I love that.
I'd like to welcome Jeffrey from Philadelphia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Good evening.
Hello there.
Hi.
I'm feeling very nervous right now.
Uh-huh.
Because a whole big chunk of my identity is based on something that I wanted to talk to you about.
Uh-huh.
I'm 27 right now, and I'm a virgin. And it's a whole big thing that ego has a lot of control over. It's a big piece of content for me.
Uh-huh.
That I feel that I shouldn't be this way, or maybe I should, and I go back and forth all the time, and it really keeps me out of the present moment.
It really keeps you out of the, well, whether I should or I shouldn't, I am.
Yes. That's
yeah.
True.
That's really, I mean, with what you're describing, it's like there is what is in the present, and then conditioning or ego just keeps flipping you over the top of the present to, well, this shouldn't be this way. Or, yes, this should be this way, or...
That's exactly right. How do I stay in the present?
Well, you know, you're on to the biggest part of it, and that is that what takes us out of the present is a really compelling story. And clearly, this is a really compelling story.
That's true. It is.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you can be going along doing anything, and there's one line of this story that comes through, and it's gotcha.
This seems to be the content that ego falls back on.
Yes.
When there's nothing else that's wrong, you know?
Yes. Yeah, you're going along, and life is okay, right? Might not be great. It's not bad. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine life. And then here it comes. Dee, 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 dee. There's the line of the story. And I bet you can feel the adrenaline, right? There's that knot in the middle of your body. And it's got you hooked. And I would suggest this: if you didn't have this particular piece of content, there would be something else that conditioning would be doing exactly the same process with.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. 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 It sounds like you've had that experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was something else that was major before this became the thing that was major.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so it's always looking for what's wrong, because what's wrong takes you into, this is your fault, you should do something about it, what are you going to do? So right away your position so that your survival is somehow threatened or your well-being is at stake. Now, what are you going to do? So now you have to plan for the future, how you're going to resolve this problem, and then you have to periodically have a review of everything that you've done wrong in the past that has created this problem. Then out into the future again, beatings, out in the future again, making plans to resolve this, and it's just got you. So the, you know,
That's true, yes.
Yeah, and, it, you know, I can say this, and you know this, and it sounds, you know, really easy, and it's not always. But the way around it, whether it's a process like that that's happening inside of us or it's happening with somebody else, is simply to say, yes. Yes, that's true. So if someone said, you know, you're really controlling. If you get upset, if you start trying to figure out whether you are or you aren't and make cases and I mean, your life will just be miserable. If you just say, well, let's see, let's break this down. I'm a human being. Human beings have control as one of their survival mechanisms. So we try to control life so that we will feel safe. Yeah, well, I guess that's fair to say. On, you know, to one degree or another, I'm controlling. Yeah. Yeah, I am. There's nowhere for anybody to go with that. You see?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I accuse you, and you go, wow, that's yeah, that's true. I can see that. You know, I'm going to have to come up with the next thing to come at you with. And after we go through that a few times, I'm going to lose interest. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little break on that one, and I'm going to go off and regroup and try to come up with the thing that's going to get you. Okay, so to approach this conversation in that way, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I am. I'm a virgin. Oh, you're 27 years old, for God's sake. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's true, I am. Well, what are you going to do about this? Gosh, I don't know. That's a good question. Now, can you imagine? I mean, you can apply that to that voice inside yourself. You can apply that to your family members, to people at work, to, you know, anyone in your life who wants to do that kind of take some piece of information about you and try to make you unhappy over it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make it a big deal.
Try to make it a big deal. Instead of what it is, just a fact of life. It's just, that's just how it is. Yeah, and I like broccoli. So what? But it's, you know, it's what that's doing, the process that we have to go through to get to that place is really resolving the issue inside of ourselves. And it's, as we were talking earlier about the projection, you know, the issue, the difficulty resides inside. Inside you. And, of course, that voice that torments you over it also seems to reside inside you. So as you make peace with this issue within you, then even a voice inside your head can't torture you about it.
I see. That's wonderful. Thank you.
All right. You work on it, and then you let us know, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Good night.
Good night, Sherry. Bye, Michael.
Bye. Thanks for calling us, Jeffrey. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're talking about conscious compassion and awareness. Wow. Sherry, I'm so impressed by the courage of people calling in.
Oh.
Again, which I'm projecting. And it's powerful.
Oh, it's powerful. Many people will note that just the calling, you know, just being on the radio, that's scary enough.
Yes.
And then we're going to go up against our conditioning and talk about things that conditioning doesn't want us to talk about.
Yes.
We're going to talk about those things on the radio. That's gutsy.
That's big.
And it is such a giant step toward freedom.
Uh-huh.
Because conditioning, of course, would like us to believe that, you know, if you do that, your life is over.
Uh-huh.
You know, people are going to know something about you. You know, of course, it never says, you know, it's just these veiled, everybody's going to know and they're going to think you're this and that. And, of course, we don't know any more than we did when the show started. Here's this voice coming from somewhere talking about an issue. Yeah. And conditioning just loses a whole lot of power.
Uh-huh.
When we're courageous enough to take those kinds of steps.
Uh-huh. And as you mentioned, just saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yes, this is who I am, and this is what I'm working on. This is what's going on with me. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yep. And if it weren't this, it would be something else.
Uh-huh. So yeah, as you mentioned to Jeffrey.
Yeah, this seems as good a place to work as any. And we're all working on something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wow. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're at the end of our first segment here, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with you in a few minutes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Coming up in our next segment, we'll be continuing our conversation and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here and give us a call at Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, I have your schedule in front of me here.
I was just thinking about that. I was
hoping
that we would have a chance to talk about that. And after we talk about that, I want to tell you about something else that's happening.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas.
January 28th and 29th.
28th and 29th. Yes.
Depression, an opportunity for spiritual growth. Will be an evening talk, and then the next day is a day-long workshop.
Yes, and the topic is depression, and for those of us who are depressed, for folks who have someone they love who is depressed.
Yes.
And like that. So.
Yes.
Yeah, or for anybody who just wants to have a conversation and experience in waking up and ending suffering.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, it's powerful. I remember we were talking about this workshop last week or the week before, and it was really interesting for me to see, I think you said, when we're not in the present, we're depressing something or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just powerful for me to look and see, you know, this is me, this is not me.
Uh-huh.
And to make that separation, you know, from life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. To create that illusion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm different. I don't have that problem.
Right.
I have some problems.
Right.
But not that one. And, you know, what's the use of that?
What's the use of that?
I couldn't see anything.
Yeah. And to realize that, once again, we're all exactly alike.
We're all the same.
And what you are looking at and working on in your life, I might not be aware of in my life. But if I spend some time with you, then I get to find that in my life. I get to learn about that.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big ways that we can assist one another in this process of waking up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and then after that, I'm going to Mexico.
Yes, February 5 through 12, be kinder to yourself than you think you should be.
Be kinder to yourself than you think you should be. And the coast of Mexico is a wonderful place to do that.
Yeah, what a powerful message.
Yeah, this is a fun, you know, it's still awareness practice, but it's with great scenery and beaches and snorkeling and things like that.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And then shortly thereafter, oh, I think I go to Boulder, don't I?
That's correct. Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder, yes. Wonderful.
February 18th to 19th, there is nothing wrong with you, finding conscious, compassionate awareness in every moment.
Mm-hmm. And then right shortly thereafter, I'm going to be starting a year-long email class.
Wow.
And the focus of this email class is dismantling the ego.
Wow.
So we spend a lot of time in this practice looking at and talking about egocentricity, of karma, conditioning, conditioned mind. And what we're going to be doing in that year-long class is seeing that system for what it is.
Uh-huh.
Learning to change our relationship with it.
Uh-huh. Dismantling it.
Dismantling it. And so it's going to be, again, you know, the class will not contain strictly new information for everybody. So if people are fairly new to awareness practice, it's going to be a great, somebody challenged me at one point, or not didn't challenge in the sense that, you know, not any sort of aggression, just, you know, how about if you just write a book that lays the whole thing out from beginning to end instead of, you know, I'm learning about subpersonalities, but what does that really have to do with disidentification?
Uh-huh.
And what is the ego, how does the ego relate to conditioning? Those kinds of things, you know,
uh-huh.
It's just so hard to try to get the whole picture and keep the whole thing straight. You know, if you would just write a book that starts out on day one and then sort of takes you to the end, then, you know, I could, and I said, okay. And it's taken a while to get to that point, but that's what this email class is going to attempt to do. So I think it's going to be illuminating for people new to awareness practice, and I'm hoping a tremendous support for people who are already doing awareness practice and are finding themselves caught in that main difficulty of those of us doing awareness practice, and that's remembering to do it.
Yes.
Not just letting conditioned mind kind of put us to sleep for extended periods of time and then wake us up for a good beating about how unaware we've been and then take us right back into unconsciousness.
Yes. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really powerful.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign up.
Okay, good.
Great. And then in March, you're going to be off to Germany for a week.
I believe I am, yes.
Where there's nothing wrong with you, retreat.
Yes, and you don't even have to be German-speaking to do that retreat.
Oh, so you're going to do it in English.
You better know it. Huber, though I am, it'll be in English, and it'll be translated for German-speaking people who don't speak English at that level. So if there are English-speaking people who would like to go to Germany and go to a fabulous retreat center and do a retreat, they can just hop on board and join me there.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So do we have that next caller?
We do not have a caller. We have an email question here.
Oh, okay. Maybe we'll tell them what our phone number is again, and then they'll call us.
Exactly. 1-888-514-2100. Again, that's 888-514-2100. Toll-free in the U.S. and Canada.
No reason not to.
No reason not
dial.
At all.
What's that email question?
That email question is, hi, Sherry. When I am doing something that I don't particularly enjoy, but I know is good for me, like exercising on a treadmill, what is the harm in, quote, zoning out or listening to music to pass the time? I fear that if I am present for every monotonous step on the treadmill, I will stop doing it, because it seems like it's taking too long and it hurts a little and I don't really like it. I don't really want to be aware of these things. I just want to get through the workout. Is there another way? I appreciate any suggestions you might have for me, and I enjoyed listening to the archived shows.
I tell you, I have so many opinions on this subject. We don't have time enough on this show.
In the day.
Yeah. So there are several things. One, the first thing that strikes me about that, of course, is who is this who doesn't want to do it? And I hate to just ask that question and then answer it without even giving the person a chance to figure it out, but it's egocentric karmic conditioning, who never wants to be present and dislikes most things, if you notice. Even when it talks you into doing something, or, you know, gives you time and space to do something that you like, most of what's going on is dissatisfaction and this isn't really how I thought it was going to be, and it's not really that special. Okay. So, again, you mentioned this a little while ago. Egocentric karmic conditioning does not want to be in the present because it doesn't exist in the present. So you mentioned it, or one of us mentioned it. I get us confused at this point. So it's constantly finding something wrong and trying to get out of the present so that it can have an existence. So that's one piece of it. The second piece of it is that information exists that says, and I can attest to it because I love working out. I never get enough, and unfortunately, my body gets tired before my desire for working out wears out. And the reason, so there's a lot of evidence that says bringing conscious, compassionate awareness to what we're doing truly increases the benefit of what we're doing. So, as you know, lifting weights is a passion of mine. And so I could be lifting weights and thinking about a shopping list, and the muscle isn't getting any support or information or focus or attention. Now, what most of us are desperate for attention. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we go around and, you know, we dress for attention. We do stuff. We try to be successful. We try to have a good personality. We try, you know, all of this stuff so that we'll get noticed.
Yeah.
Well, muscles feel exactly the same way, and they take it hard when they're doing all of this strenuous stuff and nobody's noticing them.
Yes.
But when we notice them, then they just kind of puff up and get really happy and excited. And so that's one piece of it. And I was actually talking with I have a new passion that the writer may or may not be interested in. And it's a book called Chi Running. Chirunning. And if somebody goes to buy it, you want to the title is actually one word. Now, logically and reasonably, it would be two, but it isn't. It's written as one word.
I see.
And the author's name is Danny Dreyer, D-R-E-Y-E-R. Chi Running. And so somebody, I was at a retreat, somebody loaned me a DVD of this, said this is, you know, this is just, people are so excited about this. Why don't you watch it and see what you think? And I thought I loved it. And so I got the book, and I have been practicing Chi Running, which is actually truly Chi Jogging, okay, because running gives a mental picture to people that is not what I'm doing, all right? So it's Chi Jogging, and I was talking with someone about it today after we had gone out for a Chi Jog, and I said one of the things that I like most about this process is that it is so, it requires so much focus of attention, so much concentration, that it's like doing another period of meditation. So there's no, I don't want to listen to music. I don't want to have a conversation. I don't want to be distracted because I'm working on the technique and on the form and being with the body and being with the breath and that sort of thing. So my hope for this person is, number one, that he or she will question the voice that says, I don't want to do this. Any voice that doesn't want to be present is ego. And it's really saying, I don't want to be present. It's not saying, I hate this exercise, or I hate this class, or I hate this. That's just a
smoke screen.
It's a smoke screen. That's just a story. It's, I don't want to be present. And so to look into that and find out exactly what it is. So here's the person doing this really good thing for the body and working hard, and so it's a wonderful opportunity to be there being a cheerleader and noticing and remarking, you know, if we have a child, a little child who's going to perform in some way, do something, you know, we're right there on the edges of our seats, you know, clapping and cheering and
yes.
Isn't that wonderful and that's great. Well, we like that too.
Yes.
And then the next piece of it is to begin to consider it as a time to meditate, because that level of resistance, that I don't want to be here for this, I don't want to be present for this, that's what controls so many people's lives.
Uh-huh.
And so if I can be present with my body there on the treadmill, and of course, you know, the other thing is if the weather permits, go outside, you know, where it's beautiful and there's fresh air and that sort of thing. But to be with oneself in that appreciative, enjoying, grateful attitude of mind just sets us up for the rest of our lives to work much better and much more and much happier.
Yes, powerful. So as you were saying, ego's line is, I don't want to be present.
Right.
Even though it's telling some other story.
Yeah, I don't want to be present because I don't like being on the treadmill, because I don't like the way it feels, because it hurts, but that's meh. I don't want to be present.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I hope, you know, when people, if they pick up this book and start the program, and then they'll go to workshop with Danny, they'll tell him I sent them.
Yes.
So I'm building up a lot of points so that when I call him to do a workshop, he'll give me a deal.
Yes.
Because he knows I'm working as an advertising person. Which I always do. You know, I get passionate about these things that I find so helpful. And I just, you know, I just want to tell everybody, just in case it'll be helpful for somebody else as well. So
wonderful.
Hope our writer gives it a chance.
Good. And again, the book's name is the name of the book is Chi Running, CHI Running,
mm-hmm.
And the author's name is Danny Dreyer.
Correct.
Dreyer.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back for our next segment, and we encourage you to call in at that time. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Coming up in our next segment, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassion and awareness. So keep it tuned here and give us a call at Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we need some more callers here.
I know. You could call.
I'll hang up and call back in. I've got issues.
Well, tell us about those. That would be very good.
Well, we were talking at the beginning of the show about the speed of life, and I've noticed a little bit of that going on also.
Uh-huh.
Sort of lots of changes that some part of me labels as sort of big or important.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just noticing that today. I was curious about who puts that label on there and who holds that belief that certain things in life are important and other things aren't.
Yes, yeah. How does somebody say this is big and that isn't big?
Yeah, because the next thing I saw was sort of like, you don't have to be present now. You just have to be present for those big, important things.
Uh-huh.
That seems crazy.
It does seem crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because we probably change more on a daily basis than we change via those large events.
The so-called large events.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In fact, just being somebody who is in relationship with those large events can produce a great deal of change.
Uh-huh.
In other words, I'm resisting it, or I'm looking forward to it, or, you know, I'm anxious about it, but I'm focusing a lot of time and attention and effort and energy on it. Well, that's certainly having a big result. And then often when the big event happens, it's like, well, that wasn't that big.
I was curious about that, because that's part of the story, is that, you know, something's going to happen, something big.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioning doesn't say exactly what it was. This is exactly what it's going to be. And yet I'm supposed to feel anxious or excited or somehow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And none of it's happening right now.
None of it's happening right now, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And to me it's really powerful in the sense that it sort of reveals conditioning.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so there I am going along. Now, sometimes I'm just excited.
Yes.
I'm just excited, and I have a lot of energy, and then I'm looking for what to pin that on. Then another time I might feel anxious, and then conditioning is looking for something to pin that on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a little depressed, and then the scanning starts for, well, what's that about? What's the reason for that? Why? What's causing that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just simply a response to that energy that is life.
Uh-huh.
I don't actually need to go into a story about it and then be opened up to whether this is the right story. Should I be feeling this? Is this the way I'm approaching this, the way I should be approaching this, or should I be feeling another way? And if I'm not feeling the way I think I should be feeling, well, what does that say about me that I'm not feeling that? What, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. As you were talking, I'm just imagining, you know, belief systems trying to be built, like this wall is trying to be built, bricks are trying to be, you know, just stacked right up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To hold an identity in place, to hold, a structure in place that is changing all the time, every minute of every day.
Yes.
And so there's that little conditioning engineer trying to build those walls up faster than life is changing it.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it can feel like that little engineer is winning.
Yes.
Sometimes it feels like life is really surging on ahead.
Yeah.
And, of course, many of us are conditioned to believe that that's a sign that there's really something wrong.
Uh-huh.
That whoosh feeling and, I don't know, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe I can't keep up with this. Maybe I'm not equal to this. It's true. I go through this and out the other side, I'm a different person. But, you know, I wake up in the morning one person, and when I go to sleep that night, I'm a different person.
Yes.
And I think it's helpful when we recognize that.
Uh-huh.
I started to say it's a subtle change, but, you know, it's not. It's that conditioning is so invested in making us believe that nothing is affecting us.
Uh-huh.
And we're so conditioned to buy that story.
Uh-huh.
that we can let really huge changes go on in our lives and pretend to ourselves or agree to pretend
uh-huh.
that they're not having any influence on us.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
When all the time we're being changed dramatically.
Yes. Yes. The other thing that's coming up for me is I reread your There's Nothing Wrong With You book
mm-hmm.
over Christmas break. And in a couple places in there, you say that not accepting ourselves as we are is one of the key pieces of self-hate.
Yes.
And that it just really strikes me as true.
Yes.
Particularly around this. You know, I got all this energy going on, things are changing, and I'm not accepting myself in that place.
Yes. And it can feel, when we're on the inside, like somehow that's the intelligent thing to do or the right person thing to do. You know, you don't want to just go along with any old thing that comes down the pike.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of resist things and look at them and to recognize that that's a piece of self-hatred.
Yes.
It's quite quite large.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it doesn't present itself as self-hatred.
Right.
Yeah, it's
right.
Just, you know, there's somebody in you who is in charge of you mm-hmm. and responsible for watching you and making sure that you're the person you should be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People don't see that as self-hatred, but it is.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is based on the premise that as you are is not as you should be.
Uh-huh.
There's a you should be that, in fact, is pretty different from the way you are.
Yes.
And that's self-hatred.
Yes.
Because that system will then do pretty much anything to change you from how you are to how you should be.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And we have no evidence at all that that idea of how you should be is better than how you are.
Yes.
None.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely none.
Other than that opinion inside my head.
Mm-hmm. That it held by someone you don't know.
Yes.
And have never checked out.
Yes.
So crazy, isn't it, when we lay it out like that?
It's
so crazy.
Crazy. And the other piece of it I just saw is that the story right now is, you know, too much change. We want a stable life.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, just as I said, I can see the other side. You know, life is too boring. We need some changes.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to stir things up. Yeah, I'm setting my ways here.
Yeah. As soon as things settle down, that's going to be the new story.
Yes. You're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Crazy.
I remember the woman, I don't know if I've told you this story, but who came to me wanted desperately to talk to me because she was suicidal.
Uh-huh.
She was so unhappy and so upset, just an emotional wreck, truly.
Yeah.
And so we talked and we looked at it. We looked at the content of her life, what was going on, and we looked at the process that she was bringing to it, and we began to look at emotion and what that is and the part it was playing in all of this, and got to the point of, it would be possible to let this emotion go and
uh-huh.
allow it to be what it is without that story and just come back to the present. We're working along, and all of a sudden she stops and looks at me and says, but without the emotion, where's the juice in life?
Wow.
And I mean, my jaw dropped.
Wow.
Like, in this length of time, you've gone from, I want to kill myself because I can't stand the way I feel, to, I don't want to let go of this because there won't be any juice in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A wow. little snapshot of how truly mad our conditioned reality is.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't believe for a second that woman was in charge of any of that.
Yeah.
You know, she was listening to what the voices were saying on the "you need to kill yourself" side, and without this, life would be boring side.
Uh-huh.
Just being the recipient of that truly crazy, truly crazy pieces of conditioned mind.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio, coming near the end of our show here. Sherry, I was curious if there's any sort of homework you wanted to give people based on some of the stuff that's come up in our conversation today.
Well, did anything occur to you?
I think it's really powerful about calling in and the courage to talk about what's going on with us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, to take advantage of that. Maybe if people just kind of listened. So everybody out there who's listening says to themselves, okay, next week I'm going to I'm going to spend a week looking at what's going on, and next week I'm going to call in and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just watch what happens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what is the conditioning? What are the voices? What do they say? What do you believe? How do they talk you out of it? What does it mean? What's going to happen? Just the whole,
uh-huh.
what goes on around that.
Uh-huh.
That could be fun.
Yeah. So to look at what's going on in our lives and to say, I'm going to call in next week and just watch everything that comes up around that.
Yeah, you know, that really is the advantage of a radio show like this. So if we're on retreat or if we're at the monastery or at the Zen Center, then every week, two or three times a week or more often when we're on retreat, we get together and it's an opportunity to talk about what's going on. So it tends to cause us to pay closer attention.
Yeah.
You know, if I need to look at what I've seen, what I've realized, what I've learned over this last little period of time, I'm going to pay attention because I don't want to get to the end of it and go, I think I missed it. I think I slept through that. So it brings an extra little added piece of encouragement for us to stay present, stay tuned in, because, you know, I'm going to call in next week, in this case, I'm going to call in next week and talk about the issues that have been coming up for me this week. Or I've been paying attention all week to, it could be anything, to, you know, what the voices of conditioning are saying, or which subpersonality I seem to be in, or now I'm looking at my projections, or whatever it is a person is working on. You know, maybe I have a program that I'm working on, and or maybe just I'm meditating, and how my meditation is going. Practice, that's the word. I knew there was a word that covered that. My meditation practice is going. And so I'm going to call in about that. So I need to watch. And then at the end of the week, I look back and there's, you know, there's kind of a result of all this. I'm different. I'm in a new place.
Yeah.
So where am I, and how does that look, and what have I seen, what have I realized? That's the reason that we're doing all of this stuff.
Yeah. The power of Sangha to me is just incredible.
Yes.
Being in conversations, listening to people, opening their hearts, talking about stuff that I could, you know, never imagine talking about.
Yes.
And then finding that willingness within myself to put that out.
Yes. And it does empower us. It gives us a little edge against that conditioning that has been controlling our lives for a long time and remains perhaps increasingly devoted to controlling our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
It's been a good time. I'll talk to you next week.
It's been a great time. And we'll talk next week.
All right, thanks.
On Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good night.